In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. This day we mark the ascension of Jesus into heaven. 40 days after he rose from the grave in his body, he ascended into heaven in his body. The ascension of Jesus brings with it a particular kind of good news that we really need to hear, especially if you've been paying attention to the presidential race in specific or American politics in general. Unless you've got your head in the clouds, you know that things are looking a little bleak. Whether you happen to be a fan of Donald or a fan of Hillary, set that aside for just a moment, and with the rest of us, marvel that of all the brilliant, capable, respectable people in our country, these two are the best we can come up with. Really. The absurdity is that we now have a narcissistic celebrity and a habitual liar, and one of the two will be elected to the most powerful position in the world. Is there someone? Anyone else? There is. But he's not waiting to be elected. He has ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. And God makes the thrones of this world his footstool. This is precisely what the ascension of Jesus means. He ascended into heaven in order to take his seat on the throne that is over all creation. It is, in fact, just as he has said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. St. Paul describes it in this way. This is what God brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Dear Christians, we need to hear this now more than ever. Our Lord Jesus reigns. This is what his ascension is all about. Psalm 146 reminds us, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry." Jesus reigns. And despite what we fall into thinking, that any earthly government can actually give us help and hope and justice and food, the scriptures correct us. These all come from the God of Jacob, from the Son of Man, from the one true King who reigns from above. And in this King, there is indeed salvation, for he is the King who was crowned with thorns. Jesus reigns. The absurdity and foolishness and impotence and cursedness and sorrow of this sad world, these things do not reign. Jesus reigns. The misplaced faith that we and so many others place in government, in the economy, in our savings account or our economic portfolios, these things don't reign. Jesus reigns. The desperation, the anger, the impotence, the exhaustion that we've all felt because we've been trying to be the Savior. Repent of it. It's not up to us to reign or to help God reign. Jesus reigns. The personal sins that haunt and plague you, grievous sins and shameful sins, habitual sins, perhaps worst of all, those sins you barely even count as sins, anger and hatred, sexual immorality and gossip, lies and greed. Repent. Sin does not reign. Jesus reigns. And when your own heart then condemns you and whispers, why, you're no Christian at all, repent of that too. Your heart does not reign. Your guilt does not reign. Jesus reigns. In the words of the book of Hebrews, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins, for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Which means that the one who ascended, the one who reigns, who sits over upon the throne that is over all creation, is the very one who so loves you that he laid down his own life for you, so that you might have the forgiveness of all your sins in his name. Sin and death and the devil can throw their weight around all they want. Jesus reigns. And the fact that Jesus reigns doesn't lead to Christian quietism or Lutheran quietism or any other kind of quietism at all. Nor does the fact that Jesus reigns somehow render the left-hand kingdom and civil sphere unimportant for Christians to engage. In fact, it's just the opposite. You might think of it this way. Is it the law or is it the gospel that produces good works in us? Well, if you want people to shape up and shape up in a hurry, just hit them with the law. Every parent knows that. The law can threaten and coerce people, little people included, into changing their external conduct and behavior, just like that. But what the law does not do is change the heart. Not one bit. Indeed, the law requires the heart to act against its own desires, to clean up what the heart itself really doesn't want to clean up. And so the heart itself rebels all the more. The outside gets cleaner, while the inside rebels and gets filthier. The very best that the law can do is produce a kind of people that Jesus calls whitewashed tombs. But the gospel, on the other hand, it's not quick at all to change the external conduct and behavior of a person. The gospel aims for the heart. The gospel is the good news that you need do nothing because Christ has done everything. All that you have not done and cannot do, he has already done for you. On the cross, the spear opened his heart so that he might open your heart to the God who has mercy on sinners. So the gospel aims at the heart and begins to change it so that in our hearts we actually want to do the good works and righteous things of God. Many people think today that too much gospel leads to sin and moral laxity and a lack of Christian discipline. What they don't understand is that the gospel simply works much more deeply and much more slowly than the law. And that because it aims to change the very heart itself and not merely a person's external actions. So what does all this mean? It means that the ascension of Jesus to God's right hand, where he sits enthroned over all creation, the good news of this event is precisely the kind of good news that we need to hear and dwell on so that our hearts don't grow cold and loveless, but instead we are filled with the knowledge of the truth Our hearts are filled with the love of Christ and with the joy of his salvation. And so this gospel of his ascension strengthens us so that we can again engage the civil sphere and proclaim this peculiar good news to all who are out there mourning the fallen, foolish governments of this world. Jesus reigns. What Paul said to the early church is fitting also for us. He writes, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who dwells everything in every way. According to Scripture, the Lord Jesus is ordering all things for the good of his church. He has not raised up Donald or Hillary to lead us. We've done that to ourselves. But he will use the wickedness and foolishness and sinfulness of men to bring about the salvation of souls and the increase of his own church. He orders all things for the good of his church, for the good of you. He is our head, and we are his body. And where the head goes, the body follows. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and each one of us individually and all of us together are following him there. One great, big, slow ascension of mankind redeemed. And this is why he gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink, so that you become one flesh with him, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, a living member of his own holy body, with his own lifeblood flowing through you. Jesus has ascended, and so shall you. And therefore, in the words of St. Paul, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, Paul writes, not on earthly things. So you don't need to get your head out of the clouds and turn on Fox News and start to worry all the more. You need to worry less. Turn off the TV and get your head in the clouds, your heart set on the things that are above, knowing that indeed your head is already in the clouds, for that is precisely how our Lord Jesus ascended, wrapped in the clouds. And from the cloud of God's holy present, he reigns over all creation. So we need fear nothing. Jesus reigns. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.